many Christians have a hard time understanding why would God call David a man after his own heart.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Some people wonder how David can be called a man after God's own heart when he had committed such great sins. Quoting Chuck Swindoll, Pastor Brian Grant said that was because he was in sync with God. What does that mean? In this evening's message, Pastor Grant will shed the light of Scripture on what it means to be in sync with God. Here now is Pastor Grant with Living in Sync with God.
An Episcopal bishop and his wife were on their way home, and they ran out of gas. It was on Sunday, had on all his robes, but his wife remembered passing a gas station a half a mile down the road. So the bishop, he went into his car trunk to see what he could find, what container he could find to go get the gas and bring it back. And the only container that was in his trunk was his baby grandson's potty. Well, he figured that this potty would have to do, so he picked it up and he went down to the gas station, filled it up with gas, and took his time. He carefully carried back the potty to the car, and there he was with all his robes, carefully pouring the contents of this potty into his gas tank. Well, while he was doing that, the pastor of a Baptist church was passing by and noticed another minister was in trouble, and he didn't know exactly what was going on, but you know, this minister's car was stalled and he stopped to help him. And as he got nearer to what was going on and saw the bishop pouring the contents of a potty into his gas tank, expecting the car to start, the pastor said, "If I knew that they were that in sync with God, that they had faith like that, I would have joined the Episcopal Church as well." Today I'm speaking on the theme, living in sync with God. And although that was a fictitious story, God does desire that we live in sync with Him. Amen? Amen. This is the final of 13 messages that we have shared on the life of David. And I do trust that this series has been a blessing to all of us. David was Israel's greatest king and one of the Bible's greatest heroes. But despite that, many Christians have a hard time understanding a phrase that was in our text this morning. Many Christians have a hard time understanding why would God call David a man after his own heart. For we know the story. David not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, he arranged to have her husband murdered. So why would God call this man a man after his own heart? Turn back with me to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, just two or three verses as we pick up at verse number 21, and it reads, "And afterward, they asked for a king, Israel asked for a king." Just like everybody else had a king, we want a king too. So they asked for a king. So God allowed them. They chose Saul, who was their choice, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. For 40 years, God allowed him to serve. And then God removed him, verse 22 says, and he raised up for them God's choice. He raised up for them David as king, to whom also God gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." What? "Who will," don't miss this, "who will do all my will." David was, did God's will. And there is the secret, a part of the secret to understanding why David was a man after God's own heart. It's because David cared about the things that God cares about. Amen. David cared about the things God cared about, and he did the things that God cared about. Commenting on these verses, Chuck Swindoll said, and this is something good to add to your notes, David was a man after God's own heart because he was in sync with God. Amen. Are you in sync with the Lord? I want this morning to take a look at just three. We only have time to look at three areas in which David was in sync with God. And we want to apply these three areas to our own lives, because God's objective is not just that David will be a man after his own heart, but that you and I will be people after his own heart as well. So let's see, what can we apply from the story of David to our own lives? Number one, write this down. We must live in sync with God's purpose for our lives. We must live in sync with God's purpose for our lives. You know, Acts chapter 13, verse 36, I'm going to put it up there in the NIV version so that we have it together. Here's how it reads. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it's on the screen. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. He had served God's purpose. You know, David was only 15 when God chose him. But David, from that time, surrendered his life to God, and God blessed him to complete God's entire purpose for his life before he died. Isn't that something? Would you like that to be your story? That you completed God's purpose for your life? What a way to go. You know, the time God chose David, no one expected much from David, not even his father. You remember the story? We spoke about that before. You see, but David was available to God. Nobody thought he could amount to anything. And as we've said before, many of us, nobody expected or thought we could amount to anything. But it's amazing what happens when we make ourselves available to God. And David made himself available to God. And God helped him to become Israel's greatest king. Amen. Israel's greatest king. God helped him to win so many battles. Well, you go read them. He became the mightiest king in the Near Eastern world at that time. David was the power. As a result, during David's reign, Israel's size grew by over 600%. It was actually, Israel during the time of David grew so much, it was actually seven times as large as Israel is today. By the blessing of God, Israel grew and grew, and David kept winning battle after battle against powers who before used to decimate Israel. By God's strength, he was doing it in the arm of his strength. He was doing it in the strength of the Lord. You know, the devil has fooled us. And I'm speaking this morning to individuals here and a number online who the devil has fooled into believing that when we make a decision to serve God with our whole lives, when we decide to follow God's purposes for our life, we're going to be losers. And so there are so many of us who hold on, and we are making the call. We are deciding what we're going to do. We're refusing to commit our lives to God, to say to God, God, you can use me to do anything. David made that decision, and some of the tests that God had, some of the tasks were not easy. In fact, one of the very first tasks is when he had to face the giant Goliath. You heard about that last week. And everybody was running, all the mighty forces of Israel. They were scared to death. And here he is, just a teenager. He probably was 15, 16, 17 years old at the time. And he stands against this giant that is over 9 foot tall. But he comes to him in the strength of the Lord. And my friend, there is power in the strength of the Lord. Amen. During my teenage years, one of the elders in our church, let me tell you two stories. During my teenage years, one of the elders of the church, he came to a few of us young men, and he said, you know, by now he was a much older guy, and he was telling us how disappointed and sad he was. How much he regretted that when, as a young man, God had called him to give his life to him fully, not just to be saved. God wanted to have full control of his life. He had resisted God's call. And yes, here he was, an elder in the church. So yes, he was involved in ministry. God had used him, but yet his heart was full of regret. It struck me, I've never forgotten. And my friend, I want to say to you, just because you're involved in ministry, there are some of us who feel we're okay because we're involved in ministry. But for some of us, God has called us to do much more than just sit and be involved in some ministry. God is asking us to surrender our total lives to Him, to make ourselves available to Him so He can do with us whatever He chooses. So that was one story. A man who loved Jesus but had held back. He was willing to serve God to some degree, like so many of us sitting here this morning. You're willing to serve so much. But God, I'm not going to give you all my life, because if I give you all my life, I'll be a big loser. So says the devil to you. The other story is a story of another person who we know well. But this young man, when God called him to give his life to him, to surrender his life to him as a young man, he said yes. I remember listening to this gentleman, because by the time I was a teenager, he was not quite as young. But I remember listening to him on the radio in Jamaica as a teenager. His family was the first to do religious broadcasting in Jamaica, and he and his brother were on every week, and I would listen to them. Little did I know that he would become my father-in-law, and that God would use this man who, as a teenager, had dedicated his life to God. Little did I know that God would bring me into that family, and that he would have such a significant impact in mentoring me for God. You know, in January 2019, I was preaching here at a funeral service, and as I was delivering the eulogy, my wife got up and walked out, and you know, you do notice when your wife leaves, and I sort of wondered when I was with one eye preaching, another waiting for her to come back, but she never came back into the service, and I was wondering, where in the world did my wife go? So, of course, as soon as the service finished, I called. I said, what happened? And she said, you know, my dad has suddenly just become non-functioning. He can't function. He doesn't know us. He can't talk. He can't stand up. He can't do anything. Well, we eventually had to take him and lift him to the hospital. And they did tests for days, several days of tests. And then they finally concluded that he was going to be dead in a matter of weeks. They said he'd be dead before the month. And in fact, some of the tests they said, I'll never forget it, some of the tests they did, because they were fearful that some of what he had or things his children may have. And so they were doing the test. They said, we won't get the results before he dies, but we want you to find out, because it's something you could be prepared about. Well, the doctor said he would be gone in less than a month, but God had not finished. He had not yet finished God's purposes. Amen. 10 months later, on November the 27th, 2019. You know, over the period, over the months, some of you know, the Lord raised him up. I'll never forget, 2 weeks after they had given him a month, 2 weeks later, the nurse, right now he was at home, the nurse called to say he was going to be gone within 24 hours, so everybody should come. And that was an interesting morning for me. I went over, and my mother-in-law said, go back to church. You're supposed to preach, and your dad would want you to preach. And so I came to preach, knowing that it seemed like he was dying. And then that morning, some of you remember, it was quite one morning of drama. Verna McKenzie, who is part of our family, fainted as I got up to preach. And the emergency had to come and pick her up. It was quite a service to preach at. Some of you didn't realize all that was going on. But that day, when we went back over for a while, it was somebody announced that he had passed and he was getting cold, he had died. And then after he was dead, he suddenly started singing. Can you imagine this story? Jesus holds my hand. Safely to heaven he leads the way. He is my keeper from day to day. He holds my hand. Jesus holds my hand. Well, he hadn't gone. In fact, the next morning he asked for some eggs. They gave him some little runny eggs. He said, where is the bacon? And in a day or two, he said, I want ackee and saltfish. That's for you Jamaicans. You know what that stuff is all about. The bottom line, God raised him back up. During the next several months, several people came to know the Savior. I'll never forget, one of the nurses called me about a year later just to let me know the impact he had had on her life and how she had trusted Jesus, was walking with Jesus. Listen, several people came to trust the Lord. People were restored to the Lord. Listen, it was something else. But on November 27, 2019, his work was finally ended. And as my mother-in-law tried moving him from the table to his special chair, he said to her, I'm not going to make it. And he sunk to the floor and arrived immediately in heaven. What a way to go. As I prepared this message, I thought how appropriate that verse is, because just like David, Charles, I heart that served God's purposes for his generation and had fallen asleep. I want to ask you, which of these two stories is going to be your story? Is your story going to be the story of the elder who came to us and said, I regret the fact that I never surrendered my life fully to God? Or is the story of my father-in-law who at an early age surrendered his life to God, and like David, listen, after he had fulfilled God's entire purposes for his life, he fell asleep. Oh, I tell you, I'm so glad I was 17 years old when I said yes to pursuing God's purpose for my life. I had no idea what God's purpose would be, and that's the beauty of it. And this, you're still discovering God's purpose, because I certainly did not expect that God's purpose was for me to be the pastor of this church. You don't know God's purpose and plan, but what God is asking you and I to do is to make a decision, not just to be involved in ministry, because that's where we cop out, because we're involved in ministry, but God is asking for a total dedication where you say, God, I'm available to you. Use me as you see fit. I was 17 years old and I wrote the words of Jesus in my Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 4. I wrote it in my Bible and I made it personal. And I wrote these words, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. Listen, we only got so much daylight to serve God. Night is coming. We have a minimum time. We have a time of opportunity. And may God help us this morning, no matter what age you are, young or old. But may God help us this morning to be like David, to determine to make ourselves available to God so that we can serve God's purposes in our generation. Amen. God is speaking to some of you. You're young, you're old. I trust that today will be your day. Listen, not only was David in sync with God's purpose, but secondly, he was in sync with God's pattern. Put that down as we apply it to ourselves. We must live in sync with God's pattern for worship. Did you know that God has a pattern for worship? God desired to dwell with his people. And so after the Exodus from Egypt, he gave Moses detailed instructions regarding the making of the Ark of the Covenant, the most important item of furniture in the tabernacle. Now, when you hear the word Ark, some of us immediately think of this big ship that Noah made. The Ark of the Covenant was not big. In fact, it was very small. It was only 52. It was like a rectangular box, 52 inches long, 31 inches wide, 31 inches high. That's not that big, correct? 52 inches by 31 by 31. It wasn't large, but it was extremely important. You want to see how important? Say yes. Turn to Exodus chapter 25. Verse 21 and 22. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you, and there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So there's the tabernacle, and there's this important item of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And God says, from this mercy seat, I will visit with you, and I will speak to you. It is very critically important.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.